Is Jesus your King?
Amen.
Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. We'll read from verse 20. Paul is, the book of Romans, if you haven't read the book of Romans, I highly encourage you to read that book. It's a great book. Paul is teaching about the contrast between the law and the Spirit, and how we have Christ has fulfilled the law. We pick it up in verse 20. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in the sight in his sight, meaning God's sight, by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Now, what he's speaking of, the law and the prophets, what we call today the Old Testament. He's talking about this law that this has been made known to us, that they prophesied that Christ was coming, and that this righteousness from God had been actually prophesied in the Old Testament. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray that You would speak in power and authority, and You would transform us in Jesus' name. Continuing the sermon series, God is. God is. This week, God is Redeemer. Probably the favorite sermon that I've preached out of that series, God is Redeemer. To understand God is our Redeemer, church, first we must understand that we are a broken people in need of redemption. We must understand that we are a broken people in need of redemption. Now, about a little over a year ago, Cheryl and I were, I have permission, by the way, in case you're wondering. Cheryl and I went to the movies. We actually went with our district superintendent and his wife. You know, it's always okay, to suck up to the big guy. Did you know that? No, we really enjoy Don and Rose's company, and we went to the movie, and my wife, if you haven't been around her much, we've got her in therapy for chocolate. It's a long process, but we're working our way through this addiction that she has. So anyway, the movie is over, and I heard a little bit of rumbling through the purse as we watched the movie, and we're outside standing with Don and Rose, and we're visiting. We visited for 20 minutes or so after the service, and then we went home, and I noticed this little kind of goober thing on her chin, and I was looking, I kind of looked at it, and I thought, well, okay, I'll be honest, I thought it was a zit, okay, I didn't want to kind of go, what's on your chin, I didn't want to do that, so I didn't say anything, and we got home, and we're in the restroom, and Cheryl screams at me, why didn't you tell me I had chocolate on my chin? Probably louder and with more, energy behind that. But I said, I thought it was a zit. I didn't know it was a piece of chocolate. Well, we had sat there and visited. While she was sneaking chocolate in the movie theater, she got this little crusty on her chin and didn't know it. And see, she had this condition that whether she knew it or not, she had this condition that existed. That's kind of the way sin is with us, church. It's a long way around to get to that point, but that's how I got there. We have this condition that we have it even if we don't know it, even if we don't admit it. Because we can go all the way back, and this is the basic gospel. We can go all the way back and look at Adam and Eve, and God said to them, you have the run of the place, just don't do this. And it really didn't matter what this was. It just said, you've got the run of the place, just this one thing I'm asking you to not do. And he said, if you eat of this, if this one fruit that I am forbidding, then you will surely die. And he was not just speaking of a physical death, but he was talking about this severing of relationship with him. Sin, you see, self-will, when we choose our will over that of the Father's, when that comes into being, then we are set apart from God. There's something that separates us. In verse 23, what we just read today, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. A few years ago, when we do communion and we do our liturgy, there's a part in there where we're confessing our sin, and we read this part that says, you know, that I have not loved my neighbor, and I have not done this, and I've not done that. And a few years ago, a pastor said that he had someone came to him after communion one day and said, well, I've done all those things, Pastor. Why do I have to read that? You know, we fool ourselves into thinking that somehow we have no sin in us. But God has told us very clearly that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Just like Cheryl with the little goober on her chin, whether she knew it, that we've inherited this condition. We've inherited this condition. Even a little baby, before they have the ability to make decisions, and some of you new moms, I know there's got a few new moms back here, that you can say, we come out of the womb self-centered, don't we? It's all about me. I'm hungry, I'm dirty, I'm sleepy, and it doesn't stop, does it? As we grow up, hopefully the I'm dirty does, you know, eventually. But we have this self-centeredness, this brokenness that is inherited in us, and we must confess that, church. We are a broken people in need of redemption. We can't understand God as Redeemer unless we understand that we are a people in need of redeeming. Does anybody say amen to that? Jesus, in fact, launched his ministry by saying, repent. That was the first thing he said when he launched his ministry. Repent. As John the Baptist was preparing the way for the Christ, what did he say? Repent. They understood that we are a broken people in need of repentance. Listen to a little further in Romans chapter 6. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Speaking of the sin in our life. Those things result in death. Just as God told Adam and Eve, and just as we have inherited that condition, if you do these things, if you do things contrary to my will, they result in death. And it goes on to say in verse 23, for the wages of sin, meaning the punishment for sin, is death. But here's the good news, church. But the gift of God as Redeemer is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But we have to, where it all begins, where it all starts, is our understanding and our confession that we are a broken people in need of redeeming. Secondly, to understand God as our Redeemer, we must understand this. Observing the law doesn't get her done. I love quoting my favorite theologian, Larry the Cable Guy. I have researched surveys, and I can't even recall the exact percentage, but it was humongous. I mean, it was up in the 80s or 90% of people professing to be Christ that said that what gets them to heaven is being good. Living a good life. That's the church that believes that. That's not the lost people that without outside of Christ, that's the church. That we believe that Our secret to eternal life in heaven with God Himself is being good. Well, Larry the Cable Guy didn't realize he was saying it, but that doesn't get her done. Observing the law is not the way that we become before a holy Redeemer. Verse 20 of the passage we read this morning. Therefore, no one, not most, not some, but no one will be declared righteous in the sight, in His sight, God's sight, by observing the law. Yet we try and we try and we try. And we let the enemy heap this shame on us when we don't, when we can't live up to it. That's the pattern we find ourselves in. I've got to be good, and we're not, and then the enemy heaps shame on. Did you know shame doesn't come from God? He convicts us of sin, but He never shames us. God is a God that wants to restore us. He wants to build us up. He wants to create in us to be a new image, a new creation. He never shames us. So if you're feeling shame this morning, church, if you're feeling shame, that's not from God. It's from the enemy. But again, I want to make sure that you understand that this is not this somehow this free ticket that where we can just go out and live our lives however we please and sin in whatever way we please and not call it sin. That's a whole different thing. But we also can't come before the Father as holy. It says, let me read this again. No one can be declared righteous in His sight, God's sight, by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. That's conviction. Through the law, we become conscious of sin. So number one, we're a broken people in need of redeeming. Number two, that being good isn't the answer. And finally, lastly, to understand God as our Redeemer, we must understand that we are made whole, we are made right by the blood of Christ. Not by being good. That's not what makes us righteous. Did you know that we must be righteous to have relationship with God? Did you know that? We must be holy and righteous. Did you know that we can't accomplish that in our own strength? We can't accomplish that through good deeds. I don't care how many hours you log at the food pantry. I don't care how many people you help financially. I don't care how many times that you have helped build houses or gone on mission trips or taught Sunday school. It doesn't matter how many years you've done these things. We cannot be declared righteous by observing the law. Rather, it's this response. It's this response to the grace that has been given us by Jesus Himself. It's this response to this loving Savior that chose to hang on a cross for us. Do we get that, church? Do we understand that being good does not make us a good Christian? It does not make us holy. It does not make us righteous. Only through the blood of Christ. Let's read the verses together in verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him, not us, God presented Him, Christ, as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. Now, there's some words there I want us to kind of slow down and take a look at. The first one is justified. We are justified freely by His grace. Justified, I like this, the way of looking at that word, because it kind of ties in with the word. Justified, you can look at it as just as if I've never sinned. There's this it's as if I've never sinned. Just as if. That we are made right. It's made as though we have never sinned by His grace. In other words, we are washed with the blood of Christ, and it's just as if we've never sinned. Okay, so let's look on down through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So let's look at that word redemption, redeemed. It's this meaning to free from captivity by payment of a ransom. to, it's as if someone is in prison. And we are in prison by sin. We are captive to sin. And then Christ comes and he flings the door open and he frees us from that captivity. But guess what? He pays the price for that captive, for us, for that freedom. He paid the price. So we have been justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement. So atonement, it's you're atoning for the offense against God. This reconciliation of God and mankind. When Adam and Eve sinned and we have inherited that condition, there was this division that was created. This void between God himself and between us. And his atonement, with the sacrifice of atonement, is this reconciliation, this bringing together again of God and mankind. Bringing us together again. This reconciliation of us. And how was that accomplished? Through his blood. You know, we can study these things about God being Redeemer, but there's nothing like experiencing it, church. There's nothing like experiencing it. You know, and the one thing I want us to kind of hear this morning is that when we speak of God as Redeemer and Christ and the things he's done for us, we tend to think of heaven. It's like God has bought me, he's purchased me eternal life with Christ Jesus in heaven. And that's true. But I want you to hear something. Redemption begins now, today, right now. He has redeemed the song that we sang, that we will sing later, and I believe we sang it last week or a few weeks before, is Praise the Lord, O my soul. He redeems my life from the pit. And that's not speaking about future tense. That's talking about present tense. He redeems my life from the pit. How many of you ever felt like that your life was in the pit? And even when we were in Christ, the enemy wants to keep throwing us back in the pit. And we have to remind him, no, I have been redeemed from the pit. I have had to do that this week. This has been a tough week for your pastor, and I won't get into all of that, but it's been a tough week for me. And I want to tell you, more times than I remember, I've prayed that this week that the Lord would restore to me the joy of his salvation, that he would redeem my life from the pit, and he has been faithful to that. And so this world is difficult. And so this redemption that comes through the blood of Christ, we have to celebrate that, and we have to remember that, and we have to claim that over and over again. But there's something about experiencing it that's a lot different than hearing about it. It's been 21 years ago now, and most of you, if you've been here very long, have heard me tell about it. But I can remember I was. For me, I'd spent 30 years in the church, and I believed all the right things, and I had a faith in Christ and all those things, but I really didn't understand Christ as Redeemer. I really didn't understand what he had done for me, for Jeff Hatcher. I really didn't get it. And 21 years ago, I was on a walk to Emmaus, and we had a service, and I will remember that service till the day I die. And Christ became so real to me, and I'll just tell you, it's probably, if you'd have seen me, you'd have, you know, it's kind of a strange deal, but I wept like a baby for a long time, because I just understood for the very first time that Christ loved me enough to hang on a cross for me, to redeem me by his blood, to this reconciliation that between God and man had somehow found its home with me. It wasn't mankind, this abstract, you know, theory out here. It was between God and Jeff that somehow the blood of Christ had redeemed even me. I want to ask you, invite you to, this is an older song, you, sorry. I'm an old guy, so, but it's a great song. And I want to ask you, if you would, just close your eyes and listen to this song. Hear the words, this powerful song. Hear the words of this song. If you go ahead and play that, Lee. Close your eyes, if you would, while you listen.
It was my cross you had.
God's word tells us that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for hanging on a tree for us. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for making atonement through your blood. If there are those this morning, Father, that are right here in this room that don't understand that, if not received that, I pray that you'd move in power and convict and embrace them. Show them how much you love them. Thank you, Father, for being our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You will stand as we close. The altar is always open if you would like to pray. I will be up front if you would like to come and visit with me or have me pray for you, anything at all.
Praise the
Just tell you, Kent that came forward in the chair a while ago will next week rededicate his baptism. The Lord is indeed redeeming Kent, and we celebrate that, brother. Amen. Guys, if you know Christ is Redeemer, how selfish of us to not share that. Amen. Go and tell someone that he has redeemed our life from the pit. In Jesus' name, go and be blessed.
For as high as the heavens above the earth, for those who fear his name, so great is his love.